for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April the 22nd, 2000. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is teaching the ladies afternoon service.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come this afternoon as your children. Lord, we come seeking your face and just say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll just do a work in our hearts this evening. Lord, open our eyes and ears, our spiritual eyes and ears to your word and to the need within our own hearts and lives. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Most of all, we thank you for the love that sent him to the cross. We praise you, Father, for his resurrection, his ascension, and that one day we shall see him as he is. We shall behold him. And, Father, we thank you for that. And now as we gather together, I bind the enemy over this place. I come in the authority that you've given me in the third heaven where I'm seated in Christ Jesus. I bind every spirit from the heavenlies. I bind powers, principalities, and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. I bind the kings and thrones and dominions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take that authority and I cut their power off. They will not hinder or harass anyone in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong men, each one here. And Father, I ask you to put hedges, put a shield around each one that there'll be no transference of spirits in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to cover the children, station angels around them in Jesus' name. And we praise you and give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was talking to the Lord. I had gone to my prayer closet downstairs, which is the bathroom. And you know, you got to have a prayer closet somewhere. And I'm teaching downstairs, and I was saying, Lord, I have two sermons. Which one do you want me to teach where? So I'm going to share with you all this afternoon the scriptures. I'm titled this, Thoughts That Torment, and How to Cast Them Out. I don't know whether you've ever heard about casting out thoughts or not, but it works. It really works. And so, if you'll open your Bible to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Proverbs is telling us that what we think in our hearts. I wrote this down after I finished the study. It says, watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. And watch your habits. They become you. You become what you do and what you say and what you think. And so, watch your words. And when he said in Proverbs, he said, for as we think in our hearts, you know, the enemy works in our minds, our wills, and our emotions. And when we take a thought, I tell the people sometimes at home when I'm doing teaching, I war with spirits while I'm teaching because the enemy wants to try to attack me, you know, so, but the Lord protects me, but even if they're not saying anything, the thoughts come so strong at you. In fact, I think thoughts are stronger than words because you continue your thoughts, you'll speak, and maybe it's gone, you know, our words are life, the spirit of life, they either bring life or death. We either speak good things or we speak death. And so our thoughts, you meditate on your thoughts, you think, and the enemy plays in your mind. And so I tell you this, and I'll tell you this so you can maybe receive what I'm saying a little better. I never heard anyone teach on casting out thoughts. And I was praying the scripture. I pray scripture when I pray, most always. I at least get some of the scripture in, and if I'm by myself, I do a lot of scripture. And I was praying 2 Corinthians 10, where I'm going to get that scripture to you in a little bit. We're going to read it, but I was saying, it says, casting down imaginations, everything that exalts itself against the Lord. And I was having a lot of troubles, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but I lost my husband. I was having a real hard time. I probably will get on some more of it before it's over with, but downstairs up here, not because of him, but what I went through because of it. But I was casting down my thoughts because the enemy was really giving me a hard time in my thoughts. You should have done this, you didn't do that, you did this, you did, you know. All of this was just, it was just bombarding my mind. And I was saying, Lord, help me with this. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, don't cast them down, cast them out. And I thought, I never heard that before, Lord. And the devil won't tell you that. So the Lord was telling me, get rid of them. And all of a sudden I heard this, you can't do that. I thought, oh boy, we're going to do this. So I began to cast out the thoughts that were bombarding my mind. And I didn't even pray aloud. I just prayed inside of me. And I said, no, you, whatever thought was working, I said, you got to go. You come out of me in the name of Jesus. And I do a lot of deliverance on myself in the bed. And I was lying there and I was getting deliverance. And it was just all that weight just lifted as I was casting those thoughts out. So when the Lord gives me something, I always share it with my church, because we have a lady in the church is fighting a physical thing right now. And I think, I don't know if I told you all yesterday, I won't do deliverance on her yet because of the blood thinner she's taking. She went to the doctor. She's on blood thinner. And until I can get her husband there to help me, because she manifests violently every time we do go after the strong man. If she can be delivered from the physical thing once we get it out, she's had a lot of anything that ever hit her. We go, I pray this way. If I don't know who the ruler is when I go after something that's sickness in her, I'll say, you spirit of, you ruler of this disease, manifest yourself and tell me who you are. Of course, they don't do it just because I say it. I have to pray, you know, put pressure on them to make them do so. But the thing is, she always gets free from it because I get the ruler. I don't go after the symptoms. So, anyway, she was having a lot of trouble with her thoughts, and the devil was just really tormenting her because she had gone to the doctor and was taking medication because she knew she had always gotten her healing through deliverance. We would cast out, she was delivered from lupus, and she was delivered from crippling, whatever, she couldn't walk, and she was delivered from it. And that was the ruler over that was witchcraft. I don't remember one over the lupus, but anyways, she came back. I shared this with the church, and she came back and told me, she said, I'm telling you, I thank God for the casting out thoughts. She said, I have so much more freedom than I have had because of calling out the thoughts that I've had. So did you ever stop to think that if you bind a spirit, he's bound, but he can still talk to you? Did you ever think about that? You know, we bind them unless you gag them. They're going to talk. And yet they can still project thoughts into your mind. That's why it's so important to cast them out of you. When you bind them, call them out. Bind your thoughts and call them out. It works. Some of you looking at me like, oh, I don't know about that. Well, okay, it's okay. I know. It worked for me. So here we see this, as the Word says here, as we think in our heart, we can become that. Now, let's go over to Genesis. And I want to show you what God says about you. My husband always says this, and I said I wouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it anyways. I know you probably know these scriptures, but you need to look at them again. Jim always would say, I know you know, and I say, Jim, don't say that. Just because we think we know, we don't really know. We need to read them and look at them. We know about them, but we need to know what they're saying to me and to you. Not to what they're saying. I don't need to know what they're saying to you. I need to know what they're saying to me. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Well, I'm going to start with verse 3. You know, if I go back to the beginning of it, it talks about the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and I'm reading verse 2, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You know, God has promised us 120 years. And, you know, he says, even the wicked man has 70. And if we die before we're 70, the devil robs us. He robs us anyways if we don't fight him hard enough. He said, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after After that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Lost my shoe. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts and of his heart was only evil continually. See, God sees the thoughts and imaginations that we have. I'm going to call out wicked imaginations and evil thoughts when I get through. And if you don't want to get rid of yours, you just hold on to them. But if you want to get rid of them, work hard to get them out. But when God looks at us, he sees in our heart. And even though sometimes we maybe bite our tongue to keep from saying what we're thinking, we're still meditating on them, and they bring a lot of problems within us. They're tormentors. As I was studying this, the Lord was showing me that over in Matthew 18, that those tormentors that God said he'd turn us over to if we don't forgive, it's the thoughts that torment you. There's a lot of others, but just do you have any tormenting thoughts? Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. God says that the imagination is wicked even from childhood. And that's very true. You can look around you today and see what's going on, and you know that, you know, to show you how the enemy works, and this is just came to me as I was thinking about something else. Children in a home where there's strife and dissension, take a baby for instance. If there's strife and dissension there, that baby cries a lot. He's real hard to deal with because of the turmoil that's in the home. Not only what's in the home, but the turmoil within whoever's tending to that baby picks it up, and he cries, and it's hard to pacify, hard to deal with. But you take someone that's just full of love and peace of God there, and pick that baby up that's screaming, kicking, and hollering that maybe the mother's had or the father's had, or maybe the mother's weary and whatever. So that baby picks it up by the spirit, and it'll just calm down and you know, be just go to sleep or whatever. So when we have, even when you're carrying your children, if you walk in a lot of strife or turmoil or whatever, then that child, that is in that child. And so if you don't believe that, go back over and look at Elizabeth when Mary came to see her. Remember how she, what the word said, that John was anointed, filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb. But think how that baby jumped, leaped for joy when he heard the voice. He heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And think how much they pick up. And they pick up from the mother's thoughts and the expressions and what's going on inside. And over, and I said I was going to give you the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We pull down strongholds in the heavenlies, but we need to tear them down, those that are in us. There are strongholds in us, and we need to tear them down and pull down every stronghold, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, you know, you start with it like this. I bind every thought in me with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will bow your knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thought, the word says, that every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. Well, this is my earth, and in me is my heaven. It's heaven where God dwells. So God's given me authority over this body. And so we can bind it and then call it out. Are you with me? I say, church, are you with me? Have you gone home? Sometimes they look like they're going home. You put up with me all the time, you probably won't run too. Praise the Lord. That's okay. They love me anyways. And it says, having an inner readiness to revenge all disobedience when you're obedience is fulfilled. And when they won't, when the thoughts, you can't, they won't obey your binding, say, okay, you just hang in there. I'm going to throw you out in the name of Jesus. And if you can't get them out, ask the Father to send you an angel and then cast them, throw them out. A ministering spirit, God send a ministering spirit and they'll drive you out. By the way, thank you, Lord. Did you know there's a difference between angels and ministering spirits? There are the spirits of God, and then there's the angels of the Lord. Get in your concordance and look it up sometime and find out. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5. I read through 6. But thoughts will lead you in. If you meditate on a thought long enough, do you ever have thoughts of two people over here talking? Maybe they're whispering. By the way, the Bible tells us that whispering is like hissing. It's witchcraft. So if you're going to say something to someone and you're the only master, you need to walk out, take them somewhere and say it loud enough that they can hear you, but nobody else can. If you're the only master here. But when you go to, you're hissing. It's true. Look in your Bible. Fern knows she's agreeing with me back there. She knows what I'm talking about. But the thing is, when they won't obey us, when the thoughts don't obey you, cast them out and tell them you're going to cast them out. And when they tell you you can't do it, I like my own expression. You can get yours up if you want it, but mine is just hide and watch, devil. I'll show you whether I'll do it or not. And I stay at it till they're gone. I don't just pray one time to tell something, leave one time. If he hangs on, I say, you're going to go because you have to bow your knees to the name of Jesus Christ, and I have authority. Are you seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven? Yes, you are. The Word says you are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so we're seated in Him. When I came to Jesus Christ, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives in me. Jesus prayed that we would be one as He and the Father was one. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you've got the Father and you've got the Son in you. Because they are one. That's what John said. Jesus said in John. And He said in Ephesians 2, He said that we are seated in Him in heavenly places. And where is He seated? At the Father's right hand. And that means my authority comes from God's throne through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in the name of Jesus. But since I'm in Him, and He said in Matthew 28:18-20, He said, all authority's been, all power in heaven and earth's been given unto me, to Him. And then He said, what did He say? You go. So that means He doesn't need it. He's been restored to where He was with the Father to begin with. And so He gave that authority to you and I, and our authority is over the devil and all of his demons. All of them. Not part of them, but all of them. And if you let the devil beat you down with thoughts, and he has, every one of you had them. I know I have. And I've had to deal a lot with them. Listen, for the last 5 months, I praise God for when God spoke this to me, that I don't have to have these things tormenting me. I can get rid of them. So, when I bind them and cast them out, I don't bind them half the time. I just say, you going, you're not staying in me. My body's a temple of God, and therefore you're not going to stay here. Go to Romans chapter 1. Did you go there? Did I tell you? Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, that God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And he's talking about, Paul's talking here about God's people, even if it's the world is really without excuse, because there inside of man is that desire to know God. And in you and I, not only have we come to know Him, but we have His power in us that we can understand what God is saying to us. He said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. If we get into imagining, now, you start off with husbands that may be late, they may not know Jesus, and they may be late coming in, and the devil says, oh, they're probably out at the bar. They're off looking at some woman. You know how the devil plays on you. That's the wicked imagination. And you keep thinking of it. Well, maybe he just was a little late getting away from work and he comes in the door. What happens? Where were you? Ever do that? I'm speaking from experience years ago, but I know that we've done that. And that's the way, and I just use that as an example because with your kids, with your grandkids, you imagine everything that the enemy wants to plant in your mind, and that's why it's so important to cast them down, cast them out, and speak the word. The enemy comes to steal your faith. And what we need to do is say, hey, not my kids. They have angels around them. They're covered with the blood. Even if they don't know the Lord, they're covered with blood. I was telling Bill and Peggy this morning, I praise God, I had not really sat down and looked at it, but all of my family, my four kids are in the kingdom, and I only have one grandchild outside so far. I have 9 grandchildren. Of course, I have 3 great-grandchildren, they're babies, so we'll pray them into the kingdom too. God has been gracious and merciful. And so we've got to, you know, and as you're speaking, that God is protecting them, that God is watching over them, you're building faith in you. And if you get on the negative side, you're putting doubt in you. That's why it's so important to not let thoughts linger in you, to cast them out. And he said, because that when they knew God, they glorified not him. I read this, I'll read again. Not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Let me give you another illustration of this. This goes on to show where these thoughts can lead you into receive the spirit of lasciviousness that carry you into all kinds of lasciviousness, but God turns them over to a reprobate mind. That's what I was trying to get. If we don't take authority over our thoughts and take authority over where we're going, but you know, to show you how the enemy works, and while I'm talking, go to Job chapter 1, would you? It goes to the doctor, or someone's gone to the doctor, and they come back and they say that individual had cancer. What do people begin to do? They quote it, go from one place to another, and then they begin to see them dead. This is why it's so hard to get people healed. It's best to keep your mouth shut if you go and find out what's wrong with you. Tell no one. Tell no one. Found out the hard way. You don't tell anyone. And because the minute the word is spoken, people begin to imagine everything and every thought. And when the imagination begins to work, the thoughts come out the mouth and they speak it. Amen? And so it brings destruction. Over in Job, to show you how this works, look at Job. He had 10 kids and they were partying. I don't know what kind of party they were having, but that's my word for what they were going together, feasting and so forth. And Job was concerned about his kids. And you know, to show you the difference, show you that we're human, Job, what did God say about Job to Satan? He was a perfect and upright man. Have you seen my servant Job? But look what he did. Verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. He said, my kids have probably sinned. I've got to go sacrifice for them. And what we say when our kids are a little bit late, maybe a little bit after school, they're a little late, what kind of meanness, what kind of mischief are they into? What's happened to them? Oh, they may be hurt. They may be, you know, somebody may have done this or done that. And we need to start speaking, Lord, I know they're okay because your word says the angels of the Lord, they have an angel protecting them. Doesn't the word say that over in Matthew that the children's angel always behold the Father's face? According to the children, the angels look to God to see what they're supposed to do for that child, and they're there as their guarding angel. And if we will add our words to it and say, Lord, I know those angels are taking care of my kids instead of listening to what thoughts that are coming into our mind. Job said over in chapter 3 in verse 25, he says, for the things which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid is come unto me. Job received what he was fearful for. How many of us, when a pain hits us, say for instance in the chest or wherever, oh, you're going to have a heart attack. Oh, my word, my word, my word. The devil tries to get fear in what you say. Hey, I rebuke that. You're not putting that on me in the name of Jesus. Take it down the road. Somebody down there is waiting on it. Sneeze. And the devil say, you're coming down with a cold. If you listen to him, you know what the word says, where two agree is touching anything, it shall be done, given unto you. Well, honey, you get in agreement with the devil, you got it. But you agree with the word, you ain't got it. The word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago. The devil has no right to put anything upon us. And I hear people say, my this. I got my medication from my this and my that. Well, it doesn't belong to me. It does not. Excuse my English. I'm trying to make a point. I get so sick and tired of hearing people say, my arthritis, my backache, my headache. Well, when did it become yours? God took care of all of these aches and pains 2,000 years ago. And he says, I am the God that healeth thee. And I'll tell you, I'm speaking for myself. I'm going to battle in him. He comes, when he tells me, you got it, I said, you got to be kidding. It's yours. I don't want it. Take it down there and give it to somebody else. And people, let me tell you something. All this stuff that, if they're advertising medication on TV, cut the TV off. The devil will come by and give you a symptom of whatever that medication's for. He will. And if you say, no, I'm not going to receive it. I don't even watch the news anymore because it's so bad. I want to hear good news, not bad. They don't tell you anything good. I'd like to see them go down to the, where the, all the, come down here where things are happening and they report that. Yeah. Wouldn't you all? But he said, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. Go to Matthew chapter 15. You know, I have people kind of mock you when you, if you go to say it, I'm standing on the word and I'm quoting the word, and they say, well, you know, you're back in the faith, charismatic walk or whatever they say, and I'll tell you, well, that's okay, I'm quoting the word. I don't care where I'm walking, it's God's word, and I'm going to speak it, and I'm going to believe it, and it's working for me, and you know, if you have any problem with it, that's your problem, not mine, because we need to stand on God's word. Make a decision you're going to stand or fall on God's word. You won't fall, because God's word is God's word, and it's true. Matthew 15, verse 19. Well, let's back up to verse 18. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. See, if we speak things that are not edifying, it brings defilement to us. There's a living example right there of what God can do. That lady in the yellow over there, she blesses me. I tell you, anybody who can do the things that woman does, and you know what I found out? God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for her, he'll do for me. And you, if you want it, I tell you, anybody can do the things that she does and grow like she does, and she looks younger than I do. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get delivered. I heard David say a while ago, getting delivered from an ugly spirit. I thought, cast it out of me, David. Oh, praise the Lord. And he said, verse 19 says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. When it comes out of the heart, see, these thoughts stay in you long enough, they get embedded in your spirit, and they come out your mouth. We had a lady in our church one time, when we first started in deliverance, we were bringing all kinds of books into our church, and she was ordering them and bought them for the people. And when God put us in deliverance, we found that in some of those books were things that said a Christian couldn't have a demon, and you know, you're totally delivered and all this. And when someone had gotten a book and came back and told me about it, and so we carried it to my husband, and he said, I'll take care of this. So we're going to get those other books out of the church because we wanted them to have books that were edifying, but we didn't want anything that would come against deliverance because that's being double-minded. And he talked to that lady about it. He said, told us that we're going to have to get those books out there. They said a Christian can't have a demon. You get somebody to read it, and the demons in there agree with them. And the person said, well, I'm okay. I don't need deliverance. And she says, well, you have to, you know, she says, you just have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. And I said, that sounds real good, but let me ask you something. Can you spit a fishbone out of your neck if it gets hung in your throat? And they always do. And I said, you will forget the good in that book, and the enemy will remind you that you don't have to get deliverance, that this is all a bunch of garbage, and don't believe it. And so this is why, if we don't get these things out, they grow, these thoughts grow and come out and become, let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. It's a little bit more on the thoughts that come out of your heart, I think. I believe that's the one I was preparing to. Teachings, and sometimes you kind of get them one hooked on to the other. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 21. Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of men perceive evil thoughts, adulterous, fornication, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, and deceit, lasciviousness, and evil thoughts, evil eye, as an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, above all these things come from within and defile the man. Jesus said it's not what you put in your body when you're talking about eating food that defiles it, but it's what comes out the mouth. You know, there's things he tells us not to eat. That's true, and I don't want to get on that right now because there's some things that are unclean and causes sickness. A lot of arthritis is caused from eating pork, and if you're eating it, you go just talk to your doctor. If he's a knowledgeable man, he can tell you that it has worms in it. And Jesus said, God said, we're not to eat unclean things. But when we eat, when we read and put and take, listen to things that the enemy within us wants to hear, it'll go in and bury deep. And then sometimes when you're sitting there thinking, I need to get rid of this or that, and it'll pop up and say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. How many of you got owls and frogs in your house? They're unclean. Do you ever wonder one time back when the frogs were just everywhere? Everything you saw was a frog. I remember I had somebody gave me a frog with a big mouth, and you could stick your cleaner scrub thing in it, you know. And he sat up in my window, and then I heard, hey, got in there and said, you know, this is when I first came into deliverance. I didn't know a lot of stuff. Still don't know anything much. I'm still learning. But the thing was, when I heard about it, I thought, well, no wonder I saw frogs everywhere I'd been. I mean, frogs on this and frogs on that. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, if you want them, you can have them, but I don't want them in my house. They're creatures of the night. They're unclean. And owls, I told this once before. We used to have prayer meeting, which I'm really praying about starting another one in my home. We would have just oodles of people come in, and sometimes we had some men, and we couldn't get them all in the den. We'd just spill over in the living room. And I had this one lady that was in the Baptist church that I'd gone to church with her for years. In fact, she and I had gone together, and she received the Holy Spirit just about the same time I did. But she didn't believe in speaking in tongues in public. Don't speak in tongues until you get in your closet. I loved her, but she was so filled with doctrine. She knew it inside and out. And she would come to our prayer meeting with a beautiful chain on with an owl that was that big. And it was made when you moved, every part of it moved. You've seen those? I didn't want to offend her. Now I'm not quite as, I'm more bold, I guess. But I didn't want to offend her. I saw it and I thought, oh, Lord, I just pray you tell her not to wear it again. But she came back a second time. And my husband looked at me and I said, I don't know what to do, Jim. Do you? And he said, no, we're going to make her mad anything we say. But I went in the kitchen. We always had coffee and for everyone and, you know, drinks. And I went and got a cup of coffee and three women comes chasing in there behind me. You got to do something. I said, what? I'm innocent. I don't know what they're talking about. You got to get rid of that owl. They said, everywhere as we turn, it's watching us. So when she came into the kitchen, eventually I asked her if she would mind taking it off. Well, I'll take it off if it offends you. But it's one of God's creatures, and it's nothing wrong with it. And the Lord gave me the answer just like that. He said, yes, God created it. But I said, the devil perverted it, just like he's perverted so much. And it's been used in the occult. And it's a creature of the night, and God calls it unclean. And I said, now, I don't want to offend you, but I said, if you don't mind, please take it off. And she did. The reason we asked you to take your jewelry off, first of all, Jesus was not crucified on a cross like this. If you run, my husband did a study on this, and he was crucified on the tree. Okay, and the cross is a symbol of idolatry. It really is. It still is. You just pray about it. When you're doing morning deliverance, no one means to offend you, but you really do need to take earrings off. You need to take chains off. Because, oh boy, here I go. Earrings are a sign, especially where they are holes in the pierced ears as a sign of bondage, slavery. Go over into the Old Testament and it talks about it. It's, you know, they put a hole in the ear. And then there's one over in Genesis that talks about before they went into the house of the Lord, Jacob had them take the jewelry off and hid it before they went into the house of the Lord. But there are others, there's other scriptures, I don't know where they are right at the moment, that talks about it. And for instance, I'll give you another one. And y'all can get mad at me, but you have to forgive me and repent, and I forget, and the Lord will forgive you. But listen, you know, on a church, the spire that goes up like that, you know what it represents? Anybody know? Tell them, Fern. Tell them, come on, you tell them. I'll let you. Do you ever wonder why? I mean, they put them on there. They built a big, beautiful church down the street from me. It's just beautiful church. And the first thing they did, they put this great big thing up on it. I thought, oh, Lord.
I'm pointing a finger at God.
It is. It's an abomination. And, you know, we want the things of the Lord. We want, God's wanting to cleanse this temple. And you know what I find? Let me tell you something, girls. Listen to me. If you're having real trouble with it, there's something you don't want, is going to rebel against any authority. Don't take my word for it. Get into the Word and look.
That's right.
It's in the Word. I judge everything. You come tell me something, I don't know whether I believe it or not, I want to find it in the Word. And if I can't find it, I'll go to somebody else that does know. I don't know everything. I don't know anything but what God tells me. But I want to know. Don't you want to know what the Lord is saying? There's the preachers will stand in the pulpit and come against what I'm saying about the earrings. Well, that's okay. God loves him too. He can be wrong if he wants to. I just wonder what the Word says. I mean, it's no big deal to me. I had my ears pierced. I had my ears pierced for my daughter after my daughter's wedding. I never could wear clip-ons because it hurt my ears. And so my husband gave me a beautiful little pair of gold circles, and I just loved them. And I was wearing them, and I went and made the mistake of going to Wim Hurley's church. It was so funny. And I went in, and there wasn't a woman in that place had on a pair of rings but me and my dangly earrings. And I just loved them so much. And I thought, man, I'm out of place in here. What's wrong in here? Well, see, I was new in this. That's the first year I'd gotten into it. I got drugged into it, thrown into it or something. And so everybody said, go to Word of Church, and see. And I thought, well, I'll go see what they do there. And so I get up out of my seat and I go downstairs to the bathroom, my prayer closet. And I was in there praying. And I said, God, what's wrong with me? Am I all out of it? I said, I don't see anything, you know. God says, you can if you want to. I won't take them, my friend. He was just so kind, and I thought, oh, Lord, forgive me. It doesn't mean anything to me. And I took them off. First thing my church knew, noticed, and I walked in the church, and said, where are your earrings? I said, you don't want to know, because I'm going to tell you, and you like to get rid of yours. But the Lord dealt with me that way, and he dealt with me that way even on this teaching that I teach on the soul. When the Lord started giving me the teaching on the soul, that's why the devil didn't want me to know about it, why he wanted me to not listen to God. And so, my job is to tell you, and since you asked me, it's just between you and the Lord what you do with it and wear it, but in deliverance, take it off. And Fern will tell you some more about it. She's read up on it. I put it on the spot because I know. Let's go on, because I want to get through a little bit early. let's see, where was I? Did I ever read? I read Mark, didn't I? Let's go to Acts chapter 8. There's so much that God is trying to show us. And I always tell everyone, pray about it. You pray about it. Let God show you. I mean, about everything. I don't care whether it's me or who it is that tells you anything. Pray about it. Get into the Word and find it in where there's confirmation in the Word. And I won't, as I said, I won't receive it unless I can find it in the Word. So, Acts 8, chapter 8, and verse 22. This is talking about Simon, I think. Who taught or shared on this yesterday? Someone did. Doc, was it Doc? But in verse 22, he says, talking about Simon here, says, repent. You know, he wanted to purchase the Holy Spirit with money from the apostles. And Peter said to him, "Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven." So there may be times when you've got thoughts, and especially things you know that are not right, that you need to repent of and ask God to forgive you for thinking like that before you cast them out, because you won't get them out if there's a legal hold. See, the thoughts are spirits. That's what I found out when I began to get deliverance from them. It's the enemy's put them there to torment. See, I was angry at God, and I had to repent and ask His forgiveness, and I'm totally sold out to the Lord now, whatever God wants. And I asked Him to forgive me, and I had to forgive my husband. I had to forgive my daughter. I was so full of resentment and all the things that had happened I didn't understand. And I said, "God, you know, it's you know, Jesus," as I told Brother Trench, I said, "You were really talking to me this morning when he said, where Jesus said, but nevertheless, according to your will." And so I had released Jim, but it really helped me to totally release him. So, and I'm knowing God, I know now God will finish the healing for me. And I praise the Lord for it. But he said here, said, "Pray God," and I was repenting, just sitting there repenting like everything this morning, because I thought I had released all of it. But he said, "Pray that if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven." And I say this to a lot of the younger people and older ones too. If you've ever had anger or hurtful thoughts against a parent, you need to ask God to forgive you. We need to be, you know, we get mad at them and get angry at them, and we might say something, the thoughts come out of our mouth, and we need to repent of them. And then the enemy will bring them back to you again, and you can get rid of them, cast them out. And you know, we need to ask for the Lord to send angels to take them away once they're cast out, so they don't hang around and try to come back in. Because in Peter, you know, it says that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So I see that as he's got spirits following people, you know, just, okay, when you open the door, we're going to give you something else. And we do have an open door. I'll show you this afternoon that bitterness is an open door, is a doorkeeper. I'm going to teach on bitterness downstairs. Been there, done that, need deliverance from it, so had deliverance from it, go get some more. He says, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." That's what Peter told Simon, said, "The thoughts of your heart have become bitter as gall within you." Jeremiah chapter 17 talks about the heart of man. Verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, and even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." God says our hearts are desperately wicked. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. And so, unless we just listen to the Spirit of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, and you know, we need, I thought about what the brother was saying this morning, we need to really learn to hear the voice of the Lord. If we get rid of these thoughts that are bombarding our minds, we can hear God. And that's why it is so important to cast them down, cast them out, but to get rid of them rather than let them stay there in torment. And God is doing a work, and I praise the Lord for it. Over in Ephesians in chapter 4, the problem is when you come to a place like this and you teach, everybody taught before you has stolen your material. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, and Paul's writing this letter, he said, "Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You know, the reason I'm stuttering, slowing down when I'm reading that, the Spirit of the Lord was talking to me. And he said, the words that come out of our mouth is grieving the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's not talking to us because we've already grieved him and we haven't taken care of the things that we spoke out of our mouth. That's what he was saying to me just now as I was seeing this, and I had already read it and seen some, but I saw it in a different light. those thoughts as they come out. The Holy Spirit's already heard them. He's probably been in there saying, don't say it, don't say it. And we didn't hear him say that to us, you know, even though you're thinking it, don't say it. When you say a word, what did the word say over in Psalms? Or is it Proverbs? It's Proverbs 18:26 or 26:18 says that power of death and life is in the tongue, or life and death is in the tongue. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, he said, talking about himself, said, my words are spirit and their life. So as we speak these words out of our mouth, they either bring in life or death. And that's why it's so important. Going on in verse 31, Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You're either speaking death to people or you're speaking life. And, you know, I want to tell you something. How do I say this? How do I put this in the way I'm thinking it, the way I'm seeing it? We are really bad about loving people here and walking away and saying, did you see this or did you see that? It's wrong. It is. It's wrong. We're not only hurting them, we're hurting ourselves. We need to be honest with, we really love them. If you don't really love someone, don't go up and tell them you're lying. And he said, in verse 27, Paul said, neither give place to the devil. Well, every time you tell a lie, you're giving the devil place. They come up and say, what do you think about, I don't know whether I asked Peggy, I think I said this morning, yes, about this dress. I had bought this dress and someone said I have problems sometimes with a long skirt. This one has more room to move in. Did I ask you about it? I don't care if I did. I want to
say, excuse me, I
thank you. But you know how you ask someone about things sometimes and they don't want to hurt your feelings, so they'll tell you, you know, things that they think you want to hear, and that's not truth. And I'd rather them say, it's really not your type, you know, than to say that it looked good if it didn't. I mean, you know, because and we're all been guilty of it, and I thank God is saying, hey, clean up your mouth. In fact, I don't think it. I know he's saying clean up our mouths. And be kind one to another, and love tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And then he said, let's go over there. I did this yesterday, but I'm going to do it again. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse on the forgiveness. We did this yesterday, but maybe some of you weren't here yesterday. And if you were, we need it again. Chapter 6 and verse 14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we need to begin with forgiveness. And I think most of all, we need to ask God to forgive us of the things we've said and done that was not edifying to Him. The little foxes spoil the vine. We let little words come out. You know, I have trouble with people telling jokes, even if they're supposed to be clean jokes. For this reason, the Word talks about it over there that to guard what we say. And, you know, some people are just, and instead of saying anything about it, I walk away. And I should say, you know, you really shouldn't let all that stuff come out of your mouth. And they say, maybe, I certainly wouldn't listen to a dirty joke, but if we really need to forgive others, but we need to forgive ourselves if we've maybe offended someone, and we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. And then if you know you've offended someone, you need to go to them. And I forgot who brought that out yesterday, but it's been brought out. But if we let that stick, if we let that those thoughts stay in our mind, cast them down, cast them out. When that thing comes into your mind that tries to get you to make a remark, get rid of it. Let's clean up this vessel that we're living in. Okay. That's the one I was trying to remember. I couldn't remember where it was. Jesting. It's jesting. It's foolishness, and it is sin. And, you know, there's a scripture in, I think it's in Psalms. I haven't read it in a while. But people have trouble with their teeth breaking. You need to find that scripture and find out what causes it, because it tells you in the scripture what it causes. Do you know? I'm just checking up on you because I know most. You probably would. But I had a lady in my church several years ago that her teeth began to break. And she came to me and she wanted me to pray over them. And I did. I prayed over her teeth. And I found out that she was going behind my back and trying to undo everything I was doing in the ministry with deliverance. She had come into our church and she said her kids were grown and pretty good. Well, they were. Yeah, they were in the late teens, early 20s. And she said, her husband worked all the time. She said, now if you have to do deliverance and you need help, I never do deliverance by myself in my home or any place. I always have someone with me. And she said, I'll help you. Well, I was ministering to a couple of women that became real violent when they were ministered to, and I could bind them to the floor and bind them. She'd sit in a chair and I'd bind her to the chair and I'd bind the chair to the floor. But someone other, she'd get that chair loose and turn over, and once she hit the floor, she'd get free. And then she was just everywhere. So I was letting this lady go with me to do deliverance, and I didn't find out till later what she was doing, but her teeth began to break and just split. And the scripture was talking about those that go behind your back and teeth would break. And I found that out after finally my husband threw out of the church. It's the only woman he ever threw out of my church, only person. She got hold of my daughter-in-law, and my daughter-in-law had been dedicated as a witch. I thought the Lord must have a sense of humor. He let her marry my son, and we were in deliverance. And he must have said, when they marry, they can get her free. And God did such a work in her. But at the time that she got hold of my daughter-in-law was just really messed up. You know, sometimes some of you girls could have been there. Some of the girls know what I'm talking about, that when you're going through a real hard deliverance, you're a mess for a while until those things are gotten out. And she got my daughter-in-law one Sunday afternoon, disappeared with her. And my son finally found her. And when she touched a member of our family, she really riled my husband up, and my husband told her she had to leave. But after she left the church, we found out what she was doing. She'd been dealing with my daughter-in-law even behind our back, and my daughter-in-law hadn't told us. So, and all these things happen to people that, you know, you can't go and do these things. What you sow, you reap. The word's true. And so she was having trouble with her teeth. Over in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18, I spoke this while ago, and I want to read it before we're fixing to go into deliverance. Lord willing. Chapter 18, I won't even try to remember who did this. It might have been Brother Prince last night or this morning. I don't know. In verse 32, you know, whoever it was talking about that Jesus said we're to forgive 70 times 7. And in verse 32, it talks about when the man had been forgiven everything. You and I have been forgiven everything we've ever done. Jesus forgave us. And he said, as I said, I think I said it yesterday, he forgave us and remembered it, our sins no more. And so I think if you're having trouble forgiving, you've forgiven someone and you're having trouble forgetting what happened, you need to cast those thoughts out. I think it's the thoughts that are doing the tormenting to you now, and they're trying to make you think you haven't forgiven. Because if you truly in your heart said, I will to forgive that individual, see, forgiveness is an act of your will. You will or you won't. And you will either forgive or you won't. And it's not according to how you feel. It's according to the word. Jesus said, you must forgive. And so when we say, Lord, I forgive that individual according to what you said in your word. And if I don't forgive them, you won't forgive me. And so you've done that, and then these thoughts keep coming back, tormenting you. You need to get rid of them. And he said, then this guy, after he'd been forgiven all that big mountain of debt, threw the guy that owed him just a very little bit into prison, then the first one was turned over to the tormentors. And what it shows is that if we do not forgive and get rid of this, stop meditating. If you meditate on it and those thoughts stay in you long enough, you just pick it right back up. You let it come back in, the unforgiveness come back in. And he said he would turn, he said, I forgave. His Lord said in verse 32, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on that thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth with him and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses against you. Listen. Tormentors are what you need to go after. They're spirits that are called tormentors. They come in just to torment you, to torment your mind. There are demons that are sent in to protect other demons. And you need to cast out protectors. There's a scripture over in, Lord, where the host of words is in Job, maybe in Isaiah. I can't remember where it is right at the moment. But it talks about, that's in Daniel, thank you, Holy Spirit. So it talks about the watchers. Anyone ever read that? About the watchers? Well, those watchers, if God has watchers watching us, which if you run the reference, look in your concordance, it tells you that those watchers are angels. Well, the enemy's got watchers. He's got the counterfeit. And they're called protectors. And they'll go in and they'll protect the spirit. We have a lady comes to our church for deliverance and she'll be all ready to get deliverance and really, you know, ready for it. And she's just really expecting when she gets in. Yeah, it's hot in here, but I'm doing the same thing. And she drives from Memphis to Millington, which is about 11 miles. And by the time she gets to our church, there's some tormentors, some protectors that have entered in to protect the spirit we're after. So we have to go after the protectors first. She'll sit there, you know, and nothing happens if you don't go get the protectors that have come in to protect the demons. And I've had, when I was, one night I was doing deliverance on her, and when I pray in our church because of where we are, and I would hear, but I just sometimes don't think about it. But I asked the Father to seal my church so nothing can come in. Because we cleanse the church before we start, so there won't be anything in there to get aid. See, I know that the demons can get aid if we're not careful. And so I had asked the Lord to cleanse the church and then seal it so nothing could be sent in, because I've had to deal with spirits before that was sent in. And they told me they were human spirits. I really don't know. I didn't discern what they were. I just knew something had come in. But they would come in, go in to the person you're ministering to. And, I've had that happen. And so I would be after a spirit and almost just fix it. He would just fix and come out. He was begging for mercy. I just love him to beg for mercy. I said, I give you the same kind of mercy you've given her. Said, you're supposed to walk in love. You don't walk in love. I said, I don't walk in love with demons. But it was almost ready to come out. I mean, he was begging. And all of a sudden, I'm not coming out. Who do you think you are? Well, I at first thought, well, what happened to that thing? Did he get ate? But he didn't. This thing came in, took over, pretended to be the one I was casting out. And I said, where did you come from? And he tries to tell me who I was after. And I said, you tell me who you are, I'll seal you in there and you can't get out. And he said, you can't do that. I said, I bind you and seal you in there. Father, seal him in there so he can't get out. He tells me the truth. And finally, he's so mad, because it really makes him mad when you do that, that he told me that he was sent in to protect the thing I was after. And I want to know where he came from. And he told me. He came from a coven. A witchcraft coven there in Millington, and they knew what we were doing. They had sent spies in. See, they send their spies in, and they find out what you're doing. See, the devil can't be everywhere at one time. He can only be in one place at a time, but he has lots of demons, and they find out what you're doing. They'll send a familiar spirit in to spy on you. They'll send have a witch astral project into your meeting if you're not careful, and they'll stop. There will nothing happen. I've been doing mess, getting ready to sit and preach. Thank you, Lord. I forgot it. I've been ready to do deliverance in my church. Have really shared, you know, the scripture. And I always try to share and do deliverance on what I taught on. And everybody's sitting there just ready to go. And I start mass deliverance. Nothing happens. It's just, you think, my word, what's wrong? And the Spirit of the Lord says, get the witch out of here. Let's come in and stop deliverance. Bass or project into your meeting. Stop the deliverance. And anyone that's been in deliverance a long time runs into these things because they find out about you. We had a witch come into us from Texas. I told this before, tell it for a minute. She came in to find out how we were running, why we were running into the spirits. How did we know the demons we were running into? We weren't supposed to know that yet. And she not only sent one, we just sent three. And they were all from the same coven. And she got her information and she left. Came in under the guise of wanting deliverance. She said she had to have deliverance. They were after her. They were going to kill her. And she ran off one time and we got a phone call from her. I'll just show you how I'm telling you this. If some of you ladies that are in deliverance, you may not run into it yet. But she ran off and she told us that they had her. She called us. In fact, I live in Millington and she called me from Forest City, said they're after me, they're after me. And honey, she went through the whole nine yards on the telephone. I didn't know. I wasn't wise enough to know and I hadn't asked the Father what was going on at that moment. But we really wised up in a hurry when she came back. She said, they're dragging me away. I said, how can they do that? How, you've got the phone and they're dragging you away? Well, all of a sudden the phone went dead. But then about 3 days later, she came back and she was crippled. She'd been beat and she's on, had crutches and a whole big old mess put on. See, to give credibility to what she told me, they beat her and all this. But she, when I confronted her and told her she was a liar and she, the truth wasn't in her and that we didn't want any more of her junk and she couldn't, if she was for real, she'd tell the truth and she'd tell us where she's from. She would never tell us the name of the coven she came out of. And when they won't tell you anything, you can bet your bottom dollar that they are not for real because they're in there to do destruction and to find out what you're doing and to try their best to tear up the church. And when I confronted her, she fled, and I have not seen her since. The Lord told me, he spoke to me, and he said, everything you fight is in that woman. He said, get her out of your church and get her out of your life. Says she's here to do you harm and the church harm. And he was teaching us, and we're very leery now of anybody that comes in and tells us this. I mean, they're going to have papers to prove it almost before I'll accept it because I certainly don't want to be caught again. But we really need to be, as Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. With the love of, you know, our biggest problem is every one of us are guilty of this, that as truly doing deliverance or wanting to be in deliverance, we're so anxious to help people, and your heart just goes out to them if they're being tormented, that we don't stop and try the spirits, and you must try the spirits. Amen? Okay, praise the Lord. We're gonna do some deliverance if you want some. Want deliverance this afternoon? And I ask you to put your feet on the floor, flat on the floor. Don't cross your arms or your legs. I was doing deliverance on my little daughter-in-law. She's a little busy thing, and we had her on the floor. She was really rough, and her little, my little granddaughter was 5 at the time, and she'd get down over her mother's head, and she'd hold her head, and she said, you demon, you come out of my mama right now in the name of Jesus. And we would be ministering to her, and I'd see my daughter-in-law dig her toes up like this to hang, that demon in her wood to hang on. And my granddaughter had felt the wrath of that spirit, and she would say to him, I'm going to throw you into the lake of fire, and you're going to burn Krispy Kringle. Those demons hated that child. They hated her with a passion. And I was wondering why they hated her so bad. You know, and not only in the mother, but when she'd come over and minister with me, she'd sit there with me. I'd sit with her meantime, let her do the praying and watch her manifest the demon. And I asked the demon one time why he hated her so, and he said, because children have pure faith. Get them out from here. Get those brats out of here. They don't have any doubt. And humans have doubt. So, praise the Lord. If you got any kids and children that are learning deliverance, let them pray with you because they're the best kind of help. They really are. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you said, Father, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so, Father, for those here today that want deliverance, we know as we call upon you in the name of Jesus that deliverance will come forth. And, Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in the area of our lives to bring us closer to you. And in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits again in this place. I ask for angels to come in to sweep this place clean, take out every loose spirit in here, drive out every human spirit in the name of Jesus. Let no weapon stay in here that would hinder, no spirit or no any human spirit that would hinder deliverance, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man in each one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I bind every spirit to my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven. And when I call their names, they will come out in Jesus' name. I rebuke you from my throat in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again. And I give you praise, honor, and glory now. And Father, I just ask you by your Holy Spirit, just let the spirit of the anointing come forth that breaks the yoke of the enemy. You said it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. We break, ask for it to come, the Holy Spirit, to break the bondage, the yoke of bondage that's on each one now, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you again for the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I come against evil thoughts in the name of Jesus. I call out every wicked imagination, evil thoughts, wicked imagination. In the name of Jesus, turn loose and let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Listen, open your eyes. I don't know what it is. It's like doing your hands like this, or doing your hands like this, and shutting your eyes. It's like there's darkness there, and the spirits hang on to it. So let the light in, okay? In the name of Jesus, I call out every evil thought. In Jesus' name, fear, all fears that are working there, loosen and let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out of there. Let them go. Fears, terror, spirit of terror in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loosen and come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all evil thoughts, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger in Jesus' name. Evil speaking. I call out every evil thought and the evil speaking, the spirit behind the evil speaking. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're not getting any thing moving, take a deep breath about three times and call it and make it go. You work from the inside. You have to push it out sometimes. In the name of Jesus, I come against that cunning spirit, the controlling spirit, mind control, the one that binds the mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. The wicked imagination, seducing spirits, deception, come on out there. Let them go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of deception, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. I call all the tormentors out, the tormenting thoughts, come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Come on out of there, all the tormenting thoughts. So let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, mind wandering, mind binding, fantasy. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirits of jealousy. In the name of Jesus, spirits of pride. And haughty spirits, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Have a lady in my church that she sits there. She don't ever get delivered, so I say, clear the cough. She might go over there and say, I said, cough. And she'll start coughing, and all of a sudden, it just begins to roll out of her. She just sits there, and I have to yell at her. And I yell at her because she's always sitting there like she's in a stupor. In the name of Jesus, come out of there. She knows I love her, though. In the name of Jesus, backbiting demons, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Gossip, spirits of gossip, tale-bearing, come out in Jesus' name. Mind idolatry, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. I call the keeper of the thoughts, the one that's in control of the thoughts. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. All the tormenting thoughts, the tormentors, the controllers, come out of there now in Jesus' name. All the protectors, the one that protects Shake the spirits. Come out of there. Any human spirit that's been sent in, I call them out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. Come on out there in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The spirit of slander, the slander spirit that slanders, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Tormentors, the accuser of the brethren, come out of there. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the accuser of the brethren is the one that's doing all this, so let's get him out. In the name of Jesus, come out of there. The accuser of the brethren, come out. Let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out in Jesus' name. Loosen them. Loosen them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, spirits of murder, wrath, mind idolatry, strife, envy, witchcraft, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Hatred, cursing of God in our thoughts, angry with God, anger thoughts at God, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, haters of God, come out of there. Let them go. Wickedness, just a blasphemy. Blasphemy, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I always think it's funny when I get on blasphemy. You hardly see many much come out. But you know, you don't know when you have blasphemed God. And I call that spirit out. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That evil eye, uncleanness, fornication, adultery, addictions, all addictions, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, addiction to alcohol, to caffeine, to cokes, to candy, to chocolate, come out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all those addictions, desire, taste, and craving, come out of there. Brother Bob, come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out of all the addictions. Caffeine, cigarettes, telephone. Anybody addicted to the telephone? I got a daughter that's addicted to the telephone. I think it grows out of her ears. It's always up there. In the name of Jesus, all the addiction, come out of there now in Jesus' name. I break the curse of my words in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Let her go. Let them go in Jesus' name. I'm delivering my daughter. She's in Florida. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All mind-binding spirits, seducing spirits, deception. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the accuser of the brethren. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. That spirit that accuses us to ourselves and before God. Come out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every name that has the name bows to the name of Jesus. Let them go. I call out every spirit of unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all of that thing that talks to you and says you're unrighteous, come on out there in Jesus' name. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come out there now in Jesus' name, you lying, deceiving spirit, every lying thought. Come out there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Come on out there. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. I call out any witches that's entered in, any witch spirits or any human spirits that's entered in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you've ran into any human spirits and people, but I had one come in from a coven one night into one of the ladies. We were in our other church. And he was so mad at me, I thought he was going to punch me out. He would have, he could have. And I said, where did he come from? It seemed like his name was Daniel. He told me his name was Daniel. I said, come out of there, you demon. He said, I'll have you know I'm not a demon. And I said, well, you look like one to me. He did. I mean, they look just like. He said, I said, who are you? He said, it's none of your business. I said, well, it is if you're in my church. And you're in my church and you're in her church. I said, you tell me who you are. He said, we don't like what you're doing here. I said, who's we? He said, he told me that the coven sent him in there. I said, okay, I just bind you in there. And I asked the Father to send an angel in there to stand guard over you so you can't get out. We're going to keep you for a while. He was so mad at me. Finally, I knew he would torment her if I didn't let him go. But I was pumping him for all the information I could get because I wanted to know how they found out about us, you know. And then that's when I found out they always send spies in. But I loosed him and let him out. But he was glad to go. I hope he went back and told him all the things I said to him. Because he was really mad. So they can come in. I don't understand all I know about the spirit world. I wish we had more knowledge, but God gives us what we need at the time we need it. So my what I want to know about is God's part of the spirit world. I want to know about the angels. I want to know about the spirits of God. You know, there's so many spirits of the Lord of God in the scripture. God's given us that spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And he's given us the spirit of wisdom. He's given us the spirit of revelation and knowledge and understanding, the spirits of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. So praise the Lord. I'm bringing this to a close. That's why I started talking. I'm going to give myself a few minutes between meetings. Y'all forgive me. But we'll get back into this downstairs again, okay? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your presence, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for each lady that's here today. Lord, you know what each one of us need, and you know how to minister to us, and we thank you for it. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind up every spirit. I bind everything that's left in each one. Until we're in deliverance again this afternoon, then we loosen them at that time so they can come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you to cover each one with the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind backlash and retaliation. And I ask you, Father, now by your Spirit to fill this place, fill each vacancy, fill us. Let that anointing of the Holy Spirit come forth. Raise your hands and let the Lord fill us. And as we receive your power and the anointing, Father, that it'll come so heavy upon us that it'll drive out those things that need to go forth. In Jesus' name, fill every crack, every corner within us. Let the Holy Spirit just minister now peace to your people. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, and every demon that's been cast out, I bind. And I bind them with chains of your word. You said we'll bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. So I ask you to send your angels in now to take them to the bottomless pit and bind them to the day of judgment. Let no demon stay around this camp or the campground. Let it not go into anyone. Let no one, even the lost in this place, will not receive any spirit in the name of Jesus. Take them angels away from this campground to the bottomless pit in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for the authority you've given us. And we praise you and give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.